A reading from the Epistle of James, found in the third chapter, and continuing into the fourth. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Word of God, word of life. This is the holy gospel of our Lord, according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what Jesus was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then Jesus took a little child and put it among them and said, taking it in his arms, Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. "I need to learn algebra. Instead, I want to chat with Kim. So Mrs. Dykes assigns me 500 sentences. 500 times I write, there was an old owl who sat in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why aren't we like this wise old bird?" I did not exercise wisdom. Somehow I forgot the Sunday school Bible memory verse, Job chapter 13, verse 5, that says, "Oh, that you would be silent, and it would be your wisdom." St. James asks, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" St. James then says, "Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom." Notice how St. James says, "Show," not "tell." We like to chatter, 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 chatter when silence is the wiser play. Jesus tells us to go preach the gospel, and our innate response is to chat, 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 chatter about matters, many of them something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need godly wisdom and understanding for knowing when to speak and when to be silent. When I go to sleep at night, I want it to be pitch black, ice cold, and mouse quiet. At sleepy time, one of my uncles was fine with it being pitch black and ice cold. However, rather than silence, Uncle Hugh preferred for gun smoke to blare. Give us silence, and won't we so quickly fill it with noise? This is how come we fill soft, quiet preludes, postludes, and sacred silent communion moments with chatter during worship. Rather than to have silence at home, won't we turn on radios, TVs, or smartphones just to have background noise? Isn't this because we prefer noise to silence? When praying, we batter God with words, even though God says, "Be still and know that I am God." We spray God with words. Godly wisdom and understanding, teach us how silence is a mark of depth and growth in the Christian life. Still, when dealing with others, especially when those others suffer hurt or face challenges, we prefer noise to silence, don't we? Rather than sit with them in silence, don't we want to have something to say? Isn't this because our needy ego craves to say something that will make all the difference in the world to this person? And if this isn't our motive, then isn't it because we truly do wish to help, but don't always know how? We don't have their answers, so we really don't have anything to say. Rather than sit there in the wisdom and understanding of silence, don't we say whatever pops in our head that we hope might provide some modicum of help? I think here we need to be very honest. To be silent feels like we're failing the hurting person, failing God, and failing ourselves. Still, St. James says to show truth, not to chatter truth. Silence is a path of wisdom. Jesus takes wisdom's path of silence, essentially remaining silent before his accusers. Yet when faced with our own accusers, isn't our first response to chatter? How is Jesus silent when silence is taking him to the cross? The answer is this. Jesus realizes that silence is taking him to the cross. Jesus knows that the cross is indispensable and that chatter will not avert it. The innocence of Jesus is never the issue here. The issue here is that power brokers have already decided how things are going to go. The die is cast. Nothing said by Jesus will change minds or hearts. Jesus dies on the cross, silently working redemption. This powerful witness of Jesus shows us how sometimes we must be silent. The Bible verse from Job chapter 13 mentioned earlier is part of the larger story of Job, whose friends prove the witness of Jesus. These friends are concerned for Job, yet rather than sit with Job in silence, all three bury Job in chatter. They want to feel helpful in Job's time of suffering. Later, after they have buried Job in chatter, God commands Job to pray that these friends are forgiven for their chatty foolishness. Rather than wanting to chatter at Job, these friends actually needed to have been silent with Job. I suspect the reason they did the opposite is because almost nothing feels worse to us than sitting in the sense of helplessness when we're faced with adversity. We know that God alone can address the God-sized nature of adversity. Still, we want to fix it, we want to help, we want to make a difference, even though we don't know how, because we do not have the answers. Isn't this when silence is our path of greatest wisdom? Speaking to have something to say is a poor replacement for being silent. Silence, wise and powerful, confesses our inability, our helplessness, our inadequacy, as it simultaneously professes God's ability, God's helpfulness, and God's super adequacy. Silence makes space for God to give us words to speak. When God gives us words to speak, these are wisdom from above, first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Because these words are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And in this way, the Holy Spirit works to shape the faithful. For discernment not only speaks the words given by the Spirit, but it also prompts silence, what some will call a holy hush. If God isn't giving the words, especially amidst adversity, isn't it time for silence? We need to discern when to speak and to discern when to be silent. Discernment happens when we release bitter envy and selfishness, when we opt, rather than to be boastful and false to the truth, to surrender and to be obedient to God. Our surrender and obedience will bring us into silence, where we will hear God in the space, which is now no longer so filled with our chatter. To continually to speak in God's presence is to say that what we have to say is more important than what God has to say. Silence in worship creates stillness for the hearing of God's voice. Silence in relationship creates stillness for hearing another's voice. Stillness frightens us almost as much as silence. It's as if we're scared that in the silent stillness we'll somehow be exposed to God. As a result, our prayer pattern is so often verbally vomiting our fears, hopes, problems, dreams, and expectations at God, filling the silent stillness with a chatter, chatter, chatter that blocks out God's voice. Thus, we draw near to our chatter rather than draw near to God. Our words are our attempt to control the space. Yet rather than to chat, chat, chatter at God, what if wisdom would prompt us to be silent? Wouldn't silence reveal our dependence on God, our profound need for the Holy Spirit to create and nourish faith within us? Silence is powerful because it professes that God is first, not us. With God first, absolutely everything becomes possible. Oh, that we would be silent, and it would be to our wisdom. For wisdom carries us through life's challenges and chances. Wisdom sets self aside so God's purposes have space in which to be fulfilled. Wisdom would have us silently want and silently need to draw near to God as God draws near to us. Amen.